Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and my special podcast with not only Tim McKernan, but the president of baseball operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, fresh off the GM meetings, John Mozeliak. This was really fun. We were doing this down at the Improv Shop in downtown St. Louis, and a lot of fans come to this website for baseball that are from out of town. And if you're not familiar with Tim McKernan, he is a local radio host here in St. Louis, and we teamed up together. We're doing a lot of projects, by the way, this offseason, a hot stove show, namely on Facebook Live, and you'll be seeing that on my Twitter feed and Facebook page and Tim's page. But we did a special night to raise money for Three Little Birds for Life, sold tickets to a live audience, and John was really gracious with his time and sat down with us and took questions from the audience. Not many GMs or president of baseball operations would dare to do that, but John was really kind in doing that, and it was great. Raised a lot of money for a cancer charity here in town that helps out adults with cancer, and Design Air Heating and Cooling is a part of this. Mattress Direct, Triad Bank, they all supplied money towards this. Bud Select was the main sponsor for that evening, and it was just a great night to talk sports, but in particular baseball with John. So we recorded that, we put it on Facebook Live, so if you go to Facebook you can see we had a stage set and a backdrop and whatnot, and also recorded it for you to listen as well. So we get into a lot of different things, whether it be the Albert Pujols saga of many years ago, Albert coming back, the legacy of Yadier Molina, Bryce Harper, the potential, obviously, of coming to St. Louis. So many fans are curious about that, and many, many other topics. So I think you'll enjoy it. It's a podcast with Tim, myself, John Mozeliak, the fans asking questions in a live studio setting, and it was a lot of fun. So I think you'll enjoy it. It's presented as well by Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, Schnucks, Hair Saloon for Men, and as I visit with you right now, we're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Mo, this is what, 24 years, right, with the St. Louis Cardinals? You just celebrated.
Starting my 24th season.
24th season, and 12 as either the GM or the president of baseball operations. By the way, he has never had a losing season at that position. I have done numerous events like this with Mo, in which he does engage with the fan base. Most of those are done with season ticket holders with the St. Louis Cardinals. Some of those are done with charities. Not many fans know this, but Mo is in our community. And he does not like a lot of the limelight going in his direction for this, but I'm going to do this anyway. He has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years, if not millions, for charities here in St. Louis. So when I called Mo the other day and I said, well, we have this idea. We're gonna do this at the Improv Shop, and the proceeds will go to Three Little Birds for Life. And this is right before he's going to go for a week out to California for the GM meetings. It wasn't, you know, well, I don't know this, I don't know that. He said, let me check my schedule. I'm in. He said, Three Little Birds for Life, I'm in. And he said, now, what is that exactly? And I said, well, it goes to research and helping those with cancer for adults. And he said, I'm in. I'm going to be there. And he said, I have a meeting, but I'll race over and I'll do it. So, Mo, thanks a lot for being here tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you so much.
Now, are we going to get Bryce Harper? Okay. So let's start with the GM meetings. Sorry, Mo, I had to, you know. You knew I was going to go somewhere.
You got to go with the lead. You got to go with the lead.
You know, I had to start somewhere.
I just wish I could see who's out there.
I know, it's a little bright up there.
Canvas that group first.
I had to butter you up a little bit, you know. GM meetings, what's that like? You know, does it set the groundwork a little bit for maybe the off season? And secondly, what's it like for the St. Louis Cardinals?
So over the past couple decades, the meetings have changed quite a bit. And I think part of that's just because naturally how people communicate. As you can imagine, you know, 15, 20 years ago, everything was done face-to-face. It was set up a meeting. You'd have these slotted times. But now everybody sends text messages or, you know, just will quickly call you. And things are just done much more rapidly. In terms of, like, what the purpose of the GM meetings are, they're really threefold. One is to really understand what types of rules might be changing in the industry, what the industry might be doing to look to improve, try to make it more fan-friendly, all the natural things you might think would go along with those types of industry meetings. And then, of course, then there's the understanding of the free agent market, which you cleverly tapped into right away, and then also trying to understand the trade market. So between agents and teams, it's really where you're spending most of your time.
So the focal point, I feel like, for so many Cardinal fans, and I was surprised by this, Mo, before you got here, we asked people, if the Cardinals were to sign Bryce Harper for an arbitrary number of 10 years, $350 million, would you be on board? Yes. Would you be against it? No. And it was unanimous. Yes. And I was surprised by that. I knew there'd be enthusiasm, but I was surprised that it was like 100% yes. How do you view this discussion that is the focal point of the Cardinal offseason, at least for fans?
So I think, like, when you sit in my seat, the one thing that you have to remind yourself of is that, first off, if you want to sit in it a long time, you can't make too many mistakes. But more importantly, like whenever you go out and make a big splash in the free agent market or you know, sign someone to an extended period of time, 7 to 10 years in that range, you sort of lose sight of that the day you do it. And I think, like, I would just caution most people to say, like, look, I get it. It'd be exciting. It'd be fun. But what do we look like on those out years? And I think, like, if you honestly take a step back and you look at how well 10-year contracts had performed over the life of those, there haven't been too many that have been arguably successful. And you know, I think that's one of the things that you have to do in this business is understand that you're not just playing for this season. You're really in this for the long haul. And, you know, Dan pointed out that one of the things that we've done over my time as a general manager has been we have won. And it might not be to the level that everybody expects or wants, but it is to the point where we have a sustainable model. Now, I don't disagree that when you look at our current club and where we're at, we're missing something. But is that something at the tune of $350 million, or could that be something that we could address either in the free agent market or the trade market that doesn't necessarily create that same type of liability? Now, I'm not saying what we're doing yet. I mean, it's still pretty early on in this process. All I'm just saying is you have to think about this more of the long view than simply just today.
Mo, I was saying to the group here, it would be so exciting to see a healthy Alex Reyes. Where is he right now in terms of his offseason? Secondly, where are you with the abundance of pitchers that you have right now as we speak in the middle of November?
So first off, on Alex, obviously very disappointing couple years. You know, you think that he has such great upside and he's going to contribute at such a high level, and then to lose him for injuries has just been very, I think, frustrating and disappointing. But, you know, expectations are for him to contribute this year. You know, I think you got to caution yourself here as well. He's probably not a guy that can go out and give you 200 innings. He just hasn't pitched that much over the last 2 years. So that's just something that we're going to have to monitor. And when you talk about, like, our depth in pitching and what we have, you know, that's our asset. And so the arbitrage of what that looks like over the next 6 to 8 weeks is really going to be, you know, determine probably what our club looks like. But again, this is like one of our strengths. And so just to move it, probably isn't in our best interest.
We want to encourage people, if they would like, to come on up to the microphone. It's at the front left of the stage.
I beg you.
This is it. Tough guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on up.
I knew this was going to be a roast, man. Oh, look, we already...
Look at Mo. He's
James Carlton
the tie.
Coming
He's
right
ready
up
for it.
He's ready to go.
Thank
hey.
You. Thank
Kudos
you.
To you, Mo, for coming out in the presence of greatness like this. We appreciate that.
And, good for you, James.
No, but in all seriousness, it does take some tip of the cap for coming out here. So if you could walk us through what happened down with the Florida situation last year. So obviously it's well notated what happened with Stanton. Ultimately, he didn't feel like St. Louis was the right place for him, maybe from a social aspect. But I'm just curious. I always read it was Yelich, Yelich, Yelich. And then all of a sudden we wind up with Ozuna. And almost unanimously, everybody was saying Ozuna was the better player. And now as we look back, in hindsight, of course, Yelich was the MVP. I would love to know if you could walk us through what that looked like a year ago today.
Well, I can.
Again, Mo, thank you for being here. We really, really appreciate it.
Three little birds for life. Three little birds for life.
So, as you can imagine, in the trade market, you make a phone call and you ask about a player. And certainly one of the players that we had interest in early on was Yelich. And we were told that they weren't going to trade him, that the player that they were going to trade was Stanton. So, you know, we huddled. We made an internal decision that we would try to pursue this if we could make the finances work. And ultimately, we went down that path. And of course, you know how that story ended. He decided that St. Louis was not somewhere he wanted to go, so he didn't waive his no trade. They ended up moving him to New York. Then we picked up the phone call the next day, and we asked about Yelich again. We were told they're not going to trade him. So then we decided we would go look at Ozuna. And we did think Ozuna would be a good fit for. So, you know, hindsight is one thing, but, you know, when you look at the type of production we got from him, we knew it wasn't going to be the same as what he did in 17. It's always hard to when you're buying something that you're buying it after they had their career year. So, you know, are we hopeful we still get more out of Ozuna? Of course. But, you know, I think that's one of the difficult parts of the trading process. And then, you know, you guys know the end of the story. About 4 weeks later, he was traded to Milwaukee. Frustrating, annoying, but that's sort of, you know, life in this chair. And, you know, could it have been a better ending? Possibly. But certainly we're still excited to have Ozuna and still think he's going to be a key contributor moving forward. So thank you.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here. Thanksgiving coming up. There's a lot to plan for. Whose house this year? Do we have enough chairs? What about the turkey, the sweet potatoes, the pies? Well, let Schnucks help. You have limited time. You want to get it right. You know you can trust Schnucks. They have everything you need and the quality you expect. Spiral cut hams, freshly made pies, all in one stop at Schnucks. And earn rewards points. So save time and money. Do your shopping at Schnucks.
One of the things that I've noticed on whether it be on social media and to an extent with fans on radio is there is a perception that the organization is not willing to spend money. And I feel like, well, you can hold up the Stanton trade that never was as an example that the organization was willing to take on one of the biggest contracts in all of professional sports and then say, how can you rationalize those two coexisting? If the organization is frugal, then how can you go out and pursue Stanton? But that perception is out there. How would you address that to fans who are feeling that the Cardinals aren't willing to spend?
You know, I think it's always frustrating for someone that sits in my seat because, you know, we are playing at roughly $150 to $160 million payroll every year. And, you know, we're not New York, we're not Chicago, we're not L.A. And I think a lot of people that follow sports always feel like, well, you know, football, everybody's spending the same. Well, they have a cap. We don't. And so we sort of, you know, we eat what we kill. In other words, if we bring in enough revenue, we then put it out there. But, you know, we're still not playing on a level playing field. And I would say that, you know, I don't think how much you spend should be the proxy of how good you are. You know, we've certainly made mistakes outspending something because usually when you get a player in free agency, the proxy is the dollar. And so what I would say is you got to be efficient. And, you know, one of the things that under Mr. DeWitt we've always tried to do is build our pipeline. And for the St. Louis Cardinals to truly be sustainable, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to get right. That doesn't mean we won't trade for someone. That doesn't mean we won't sign for someone. But ultimately, for us to be successful, we've got to have that pipeline flowing.
Mo, I'm curious. We didn't see Dexter at the end. How's his health? Have you had the chance to chat with him?
Yeah, I spoke with him a couple days ago. He is healing, which is encouraging, and he's been cleared for more physical activity. So I think, you know, one of the things for him is he has to understand the landscape, which I think he does. And, you know, my hope is really you get to see what we saw in Dexter 2 years ago and not last year. So expectations for him are still high. But, you know, clearly when you look at our club, we know there's something missing. And that's something that, you know, whether it comes in that large free agent package or we do something else in the trade market, we know we need to do something.
Do you anticipate this market moving at a quicker pace than the glacial pace of last year's offseason?
You know, I do. I feel like, you know, dialogue and discussions. When you look back to last year, one of the things that I think stands out the most was you had a team that literally was breaking up. And so when you have a team that has said they're waving the white flag, I think it really changes the pace of the free agent market. And imagine if you were an outfielder last year and a free agent, and then all of a sudden you had Stanton on the market, then you had Ozuna on the market, then you had Yelich on the market. All of a sudden, that's going to distract you from maybe necessarily just going to the free agent market. So I do think you're going to see a bigger pace this year, and I would imagine as we get closer to winter meetings and at winter meetings, you're going to see a lot more of activity.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Thank you. My first question is, do you think Theo, Cashman, or Dombrowski put themselves through this crap? Or is it just it?
Drop out of his microphone.
That might be the best question of the night.
You'll get a prize.
I certainly hope so.
Right. Well, thank you for doing it. My real question is, and it's a little baseball nerdy, but with the asset of a lot of young arms who may not be able to do 200 innings, and with what Tampa did and Oakland did with the idea of an opener instead of your traditional starter, do you see your organization doing something creative like that to throw a lot of the arms at the innings in order to maximize the output?
So I think that's a great question and actually a great debate. I don't want to sit up here and tell you I have the best answer to that, but I do think when you're looking at a 162-game schedule, having, quote, this opener model is a lot tougher to manage in a regular season than it certainly is in the postseason. I think obviously in the postseason you can be a little bit more strategic. I mean, you saw how teams were trying to get a left-handed lineup out there versus a right-handed lineup and then trying to combat it. But I do feel like the one thing you can do is if you did have the piggyback system, so if you were doing something with a younger arm and piggybacking it with another one and then sort of having that set up as your fifth or sixth starter, that's doable. But then you got to remember those two individuals are not available until that fifth day comes up. And I think from a bullpen management standpoint, I do think that's a little bit taxing and sometimes difficult. But I do think the game itself is gravitating to that. I would actually ask all of you, how much fun do you think that is to watch? And I do think when you look at the game and all of a sudden you're seeing starters always getting pulled before they get to that third time through the lineup, and then you're left with that bullpen, I just don't know if that's, like, great for the game. I also think it slows the game down because, you know, that's going to basically allow for multiple pitching changes throughout the game. So I'm an advocate, if we can figure our way to do this right, is have starters that can go out there and get you through the third time through the lineup. But analytics would tell you that's not the best strategy.
Was that talked about at all at the GM meetings in terms of pace of play and all the different things that analytics look at that do slow the game down?
Absolutely. It's a hot topic, and you got to remind yourself that the 30 people sitting in that room are all quite competitive and all looking for that edge. But, you know, I think when you look at our game today and you're looking at where it's going, we have to be stewards of it. We have to understand that you know, we shouldn't be ruining it just for a win. And so ultimately, you got to think about this bigger picture. You know, take the 50,000-foot view and decide what's best for the game. And, you know, again, I think all of you are really the voice that we should be hearing, not what I think.
Having said that, Mo, how important do you think it is, as you look at this offseason, to get another lefty? You know, you got Dexter Fowler coming back healthy, but another lefty in your lineup somehow, some way.
Well, I would answer it this way. I would say if you could find a middle-of-the-order hitter, whether it's right or left, we would benefit. But having a left-handed bat, I certainly think would be something that we would welcome. But I don't think we should constrain ourselves just to that because we're going to obviously limit our options, and that's not a great way to have leverage as you enter this offseason.
We did an interview about a year ago, and I asked you what your priorities for the offseason.
I don't remember.
No, I thought you said it was a career highlight. You said that was a career highlight. You pulled me aside and said it was a career highlight. That and the 2011 World Series.
Look at Mo's reaction. Not even it's smiling. Just,
he's lifeless. I sucked the life out of him with that. And you said the offseason priorities were a 1A and 1B, bullpen help, and impact bat. How would you describe the 2018-19 offseason priorities?
Well, I think I've been very public on that. Obviously, we need a left-hand reliever. Clearly, when you look at our division and you're facing Avado, Yelich, or Rizzo every night, you need someone that can combat that. And then also, I think when you look at our lineup, trying to improve the run production of it would be trying to find someone that could hit in that you know, upper half of our lineup. And so, you know, I think if we could accomplish that, that'd be a great offseason. You know, there's some other things we'd like to do that I think are sort of less interesting. But, you know, if we could get both of those done, I think, A, we'll be a better club. I think we'll be competing for the Central Division. And more importantly, I think it'd put us in a good spot long term.
We have people lining up, and we want people to feel comfortable to come up and ask questions.
That's
looks
it.
Like
that's one person.
I saw the guy back there.
That's not people.
I just have a question about contracts in general. It looks like right now that a lot of your top free agents are interested in buyouts. So when looking at the landscape of where the Cardinals are or just any club in general, let's say they like a buyout, an opt-out after three. The Cardinals are kind of in a window with Carpenter and Molina where that would be like a reasonable amount of time where you might want to overpay for a player to bring in and help the club now. Now, if you're talking about a $300 million contract, is there any appetite to do like half that contract in the first 3 years? And then if the player decides...
So you're saying like $55 million a
year? Yeah, I mean, just for the sake of math.
No.
What I mean is you've got $50
million... Straightforward.
$150 over vodka. 3 years... And then another $150 over the next seven. So if he thinks that he's earned that $50 million and can opt out and go elsewhere and doesn't think that the next $150 over another 7 years is up to par of what he's been earning, then he can opt out. You've gotten your 3 years out of him and so on. Is there any appetite on either side for something like that?
I'm glad you're not looking for a job.
Yeah.
But having said that, so why do people want opt-outs? I think that the one thing we haven't done a very good job on is sort of understanding how to value the opt-out. So, for example, if you do let's just do a six-year deal and after 3 years a player can opt out, a player is only going to opt out if he thinks he can go make more money. If, in other words, the team only gets the downside of the opt-out. If player absolutely stinks, he's going to stay in, and then you have the underperforming asset at a high dollar rate. In terms of like front-loading the contract to incentivize a player not to opt out is also dangerous because, you know, ultimately, again, if performing well, he's gone, and you've already upfront paid him, which would be, you know, from an industry standpoint, way overpay. So, you know, I think as a whole, it's just something that all of us are trying to get a better understanding of. But, you know, to have someone that's actually making like $50 or $60 million a year, you know, I just don't think our revenue structure would support that.
How easy was the deal with Adam Wainwright? Talking with him the other day, he said he knew within, I guess, a couple of weeks before the season ended. He said in his mind he knew he was going to come back, whether it was with the Cardinals or another team. So from your perspective, how easy was that to get done?
So Adam's agent had reached out to me. Asked about what a contract might look like. We floated a few things by conceptually. It probably took less than 30 minutes of a conversation.
Right?
And, you know, ultimately, I feel like these kind of deals are a couple of things. One is Adam's just a special person to the organization. What he's done, what he's meant to us. So he deserves something. But the fact that he didn't put a gun to our head and make us have to make really tough decisions, because, look, if he can't pitch, it's not going to set the organization back. We're not leveraging so much that we're in a bad position. And if he does pitch, he gets paid.
Pretty simple.
That's right.
I've had so many people over the years, Mo, ask me about the Pujols deal and how it went, how it didn't go, what was behind the scenes. Without giving away too much, because some of that is private,
How did that all go down? And as you reflect on it now, what are your thoughts on Pujols? And then also, looking ahead, Albert coming back to St. Louis this year.
Well, I think as everybody could imagine, I mean, when you're dealing with an iconic player in your system and what he meant to us historically, we sort of just touched on it in the Adam Wainwright example. But, you know, we're talking about a lot of different dollars. And so for Mr. DeWitt, myself, it was something that we agonized over for a long period of time. And, you know, what I would say to people is that this was not just a 2 or 3 week negotiation. This was something that was happening over a couple years. And you know, ultimately we didn't get it done. And if you invest that kind of time or energy into something, you're always disappointed. And so, you know, obviously history's history. What's happened has happened. But I certainly, when I reflect back on that point in time, it was something that you were sad, you were depressed, you were frustrated. And, you know, at that moment, again, we always sort of live in that moment, it didn't feel right. It didn't feel good. But as we sit back now, organization was able to move on. We were able to have success, and we continue to try to do that.
What do you think it'll be like when he comes back?
Well, I imagine it's going to be a special moment. I certainly do. You know, you can't take away from what he did here. And what he did was quite special, arguably historic. So I would imagine those 3 days will be pretty exciting.
I'm curious your perspective on the importance of a face of the franchise. Is that something that the organization as a whole values in addition to what you get from a player like that on the field? Is that something that you guys are focused on this offseason?
You know, it's actually a great question, and I appreciate you asking. And I didn't ask him to ask, I swear. I haven't talked to him in years.
This is the first time we met.
Bummer. So, you know, I think when I was doing the postseason press conference, I touched on the face of a franchise. And I stated that is something that would be important to us. But as I said that, I kind of had like the foot and mouth moment where I was like, well, we have Yadier Molina. And to take away from him and say that he's not a face of a franchise, I think is insulting to him and disrespectful to him. And more importantly, he is our face. And so maybe really what I should have said and what you're asking is having an additional face. And I think like having that type of identity is absolutely critical to success. And I get that. And so whether that means it's somebody we develop or have to go out and find, I see it. We understand it, but you know, having something that can complement Yadi and what he's done here, I think, is important.
You were a part of the front office that saw McGuire come here and then sign long term. Edmonds, Roland. I feel like I'm leaving somebody out inevitably.
Holiday.
And then I was going to include Matt Holiday when you were the general manager at that point. And now, over the last 5 years, I think the region as a whole, in some capacity, is suffering from some self-confidence issues because of a lot of things that have nothing to do with the Cardinals, and then you see guys who have an opportunity to come here not come here. And so I think some St. Louisans and people who are Cardinal fans who don't live in the region are going, is it us? Is it the region? Has it changed at all?
Probably you.
You think it's me? You think if I left, Bryce Harper would come here? I don't think anybody would trade me for Bryce Harper.
Do you listen to his show? I mean, it's...
He has a show?
It's on 920?
It's on 920.
You moved back to 590. That's right.
Every couple of years we travel like gypsies.
Yeah, I can't find that. 1380.
it's tough to find us. Just podcast. So I'm asking, has it gotten more difficult in the free agency market because of what changed? I mean, I know that the market changed from 97 through 2009, but that the Cardinals are hearing about being the bridesmaid. And I think that's what upsets some fans. Oh, yeah, great, you finished in second. Who cares? I think that's part of the off-season frustration.
Look, that's our owner's frustration with me. I mean, that's when I get in trouble. But, you know, it's about like being prudent and trying to do what's right. But, you know, bigger topic. Is St. Louis a desirable place to play? I think the answer is yes. Is it what it was 15 or 20 years ago? The answer is no. Why? Because a lot of front offices, a lot of ownerships are getting a lot more sophisticated, a lot smarter, and they're making their places more attractive as well. But, you know, that's not to say that we're in some steady state where we're not looking to get better or we're not looking to improve. And so, You know, when you talk about, like, what do we do to recruit, what do we do to sell, you know, we try to put the positives of St. Louis on there. But, you know, depending on what the player is looking for, depending on the market size he wants to play in, we are who we are to some level. And, you know, playing in front of over 3 million fans a year, I do think is still an attraction. I think being in the center of the country is still helpful. But, you know, there are things that could improve. Like if you have an airport that can fly in more places, that would help. No, it would. It's just like I mean, think about your own businesses, when you go to work and where you got to go. It's helpful. And so, you know, when you look at our city and how we try to improve, I do feel like it's more of a larger issue than just what's happening at Busch Stadium.
No question. We got about 5 to 10 minutes, and then we'll let Mo go, and then we'll wrap up the hour at the top of the hour. Mo, I'm curious. I'm watching Yachty play in the All-Stars over in Japan. Number one, I think it's unbelievable. I'm watching him last night, and it's just like, no big deal. He's framing the ball. He had a couple of hits. I find the guy incredible because he just plays night after night after night. Number two, I was thinking of you. I'm sitting there. If Mo's watching this, do you ever get worried about that, him playing in something like that?
It's insured.
Okay. We just move on. Third.
Otherwise, I would be.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just natural.
Third, I think to myself, there are some when I watch on a national level or read, and they say, well, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. And I don't understand that. Now, maybe I'm biased because I watch him every day and I see the little things that he does. The numbers are what they are. But to me, it's a first ballot Hall of Famer or close to it. Would
no,
you agree?
I would agree with that. And I think history will be kind to him. There's no doubt when you look at sort of like the Hall of Fame group of catchers and you look at their offensive production, they stand out. But there's Yachty changes a game, and his importance to a team and what he's meant to a team, I think, is going to be something that screams Hall of Fame on the first ballot. So, you know, I don't really try to wrap myself up in these arguments because I think they're a little bit silly, because I know he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and I think ultimately what he's meant to the St. Louis Cardinals and what he's meant to our city, what he's meant to Puerto Rico, these are special things, and it's beyond just what he does in baseball. Guy's an incredible player, to the point that he's over there playing in Japan, where a lot of veteran players wouldn't even like think about that.
Right.
And a lot of the MLB people told me that they were so grateful for him because he was helping recruit that team and put it together, because he just loves to play baseball, and that's special. And you don't have to beg the guy to come to the ballpark. You got to actually beg him not to play, and we haven't been very good at that.
Unbelievable. The club went 22-6 in August, and what we saw was fewer strikeouts and a lot of activity on the bases. You hired a guy, and at least on his resume, it seems like, you know, he's focused on putting the ball in play constantly, which then leads to activity on the bases. Mike Schilt likes to make, you know, motion and activity offensively. Is that kind of the...
I don't even know where you're going with
Well,
this.
Is that where it all ties in with this?
When you said his resume.
Well, yeah, I'm looking
very
at
the, untraditional. Could have hired a few people out there.
Is that where it all ties in with all this?
Well, I think like when you look at what Schilty believes and his philosophy on the game, you know, he's just a very bright baseball mind. And when you're looking at how he thinks about putting this club together, how he thinks about remaining competitive, the key to Mike is what Schilty did was he cleaned a lot of the little things up, pays an enormous attention to detail. And, you know, I'm joking about his resume, but if we were sitting here at any point in time and we're like, oh, would someone like this ever get a job? I mean, this room would be like, might want to vote for him, but afraid to. And I get it. But you know what? He's one of those guys that he just gets stuff done. He's very successful, and he's going to be a great leader for this club moving forward.
And I was bringing up the hitting coach, too, and meaning that his resume is one that, and you know him quite well. He was in the minor league system with the Cardinals, but you bring him back, ideas, put the ball in play. There's a premium on putting the ball in play.
Jeff Albert's definitely someone that has... his philosophy is making contact. So, you know, when you look at the game of baseball right now, you guys realize it was the first time in history of the game that there were more strikeouts than hits. That's never happened before. And, you know, when you talk about big picture, that's a concern. And so I think, like, just from our fan base, getting that ball in play, I think, is critical. Now, you know, Jeff Albert's not going to be able to, you know, wave a magic wand and it's just going to, you know, fix it. But he has a strategy and a process to do it. And more importantly, it's something that he's going to make sure that, that translates down at the minor league level so we continue to develop that type of hitter moving forward.
Luke Fews, we are St. Louis.
It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone, ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
If anybody would like to ask a question before John Mozeliak takes off, please head on up to the microphone. This is your chance. This is your opportunity.
Perhaps I've been offensive. I'm sorry.
But he will obviously answer whatever you ask. I'm curious, because I think there's a fan sense that there is urgency this offseason. Do you feel urgency this offseason?
Absolutely. But I would say that every year. You know, the types of pressure you deal with this job, it's just ever-changing. You know, I think back to probably my most stressful offseason was after we won the World Series in 2011. Manager steps down a day after we win the World Series. Albert Pujols negotiation is going to come into fruition here. And so it's all of a sudden, it's like, you know, there was no time to breathe. And you didn't even think about it. And so, like, in terms of pressure to be the general manager in the St. Louis for the St. Louis Cardinals, it's demanding because people want to win. But that's what makes it so exciting. And so, like, I'm not complaining. I swear to you guys. It's just... But when people always ask, like, you know, is it more stressful or not than any other year, it's always a stress because, you know, I want people to be happy. I don't want to go to the grocery store and be told, hey, go get a closer, you know, because that means something isn't right. And so, you know, all I really wanted was to get some eggs, you know what I mean? So, but my point is, it's about keeping people smiling.
Every day, does somebody ask you about Bryce Harper?
No.
Because you go from your house to straight to the ballpark.
I learned a long time ago, don't ask if you don't want to hear the answer.
We have enjoyed this. Oh, we got one more question?
We got one more, yes.
Yes, sir.
I'm a little nervous, so I wrote it down. So I apologize. A common opinion among some fans and broadcasters across baseball is a 10-year, $300-plus million contract is irresponsible because it can really hamstring a franchise. How valid is that opinion now that there are billion-dollar TV contracts that teams like the Cardinals are getting? Or in other words, do deals like that really hamstring franchises anymore?
Good question. I don't think you can give a blanket answer there because, as I stated earlier, we don't have a salary cap. So revenues between teams are different. Has TV revenue changed the how we should think about paying players? And the answer is yes. But maybe the easiest way to think about it is, you know, 10 years ago when we were drawing the same amount of people versus where we are today, we didn't have $160 million payroll. We had probably 110. So when you have all this new revenue from TV coming in, just imagine a larger pie and how you carve it up between players and teams really hasn't changed. The piece is a little bigger. So when people talk about do contracts hamper clubs, maybe another way to think about this would be how many teams have actually won the World Series with, say, 25% of their payroll going to one player or 30% of their payroll going to one player. You'd be surprised at how unsuccessful that model is. So, you know, when you talk about one contract hamstringing a player, I don't necessarily agree with the argument, but the premise would be how much of that is eating up your other resources. And so that can become more of a detriment than maybe just saying the contract itself as a whole. So, you know, I try to think about these things many different ways, and I'm sure I'm boring you all by now. But the point is it's really about having a sustainable model. And if we can do it from producing from within, that's our goal. If we can't, we'll go outside.
We have, Dan, I think a scraggler just arrived at the microphone.
One more, yeah.
Last one. Is the club aware of the picnic table on the outside of the clubhouse with regards to...
You're trying to sabotage our spring training coverage.
Trying to sabotage.
This may be the most important question of the night.
I was going to ask about the powder blue uniforms, actually.
Is it just there by happenstance, or is this...
I've seen Mo actually stop and
terrible.
Look disgusted at Tim, Doug, and the cat every morning as he leaves... Goes and does a chore, whatever he's doing, comes back, stops, looks, shakes his head, and goes right back to work.
What are my chores?
Well, it's your personal business, whatever it is. But it's early in the morning, and you're upset with those guys.
I am upset.
I know. I'm trying to leave it nice.
They have like this squatter's right thing that makes no sense to anybody. I've got all the writers like complaining to me. And we even like kind of like upgraded like that little seating area.
Yeah, that was nice. Thank you.
Put some flowers, a little patio.
Yeah.
Electrical outlets so no one's phone dies. And then they try to take that over. It's amazing.
And of course I'm on their side as I go to Mo and say, look at that crap. That's ridiculous. Can you believe this? This is the St. Louis Cardinals. Hey guys, looking great over there. Mo, can you believe this stuff? It's embarrassing.
Two-Face.
Oh, well.
Mo, thank you so much for coming by and participating in the fun and games. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cardinal President of Baseball Operations, John Mazzella.
Thank you, Mo.